This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Richwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us here on Radio Sunderland for Hospitals.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
Here to open our programme is a song from the musical Fiddler on the Roof, where the father of the family, the papa, Tevier, chats to us and sings about the sacredness of tradition. Tradition has guided his life so far and provided him and his family with security and stability. But a change is in the air. Not only in the home, where his daughter's ideas about what they hope for in a marriage clash with his deeply held beliefs, but a huge change of a political nature is also just around the corner. Here is the song Tradition.
Day and night must scramble for a living, feed the wife and children, say his daily prayers, and who has the right as master of the house to have the final word at home?
The papa!
She's pretty.
And who does Mama teach? To mend and tend and fix, preparing her to marry whoever Papa picks. The daughters! The daughters!
Tradition!
The papa!
Mama!
Son!
The daughters!
The religious leaders at the time of Jesus, the scribes and the Pharisees, were guardians of two kinds of law. One was the written law, scripture, and the other law comprised those rules which were added to over the years by various teachers to make clear what scripture demanded. These hundreds of extra rules had become just as important over time and had been passed down in the finest detail to be observed by everyone without fail. In our gospel reading today, the Jewish leaders square up for a confrontation because one of these rules has been openly flouted. An argument has arisen because the disciples of Jesus have been spotted not washing their hands before eating. The religious leaders argued that to please God, one must be ritually clean, especially before meals. They were very specific about how the hands must be washed in a certain way before eating. But Jesus defended his disciples and argued that pleasing God had more to do with the human heart being pure and clean rather than the hands. Here's Brian Dirksen singing Purify My Heart.
Purify my heart. Let me be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart. Let me be as gold, pure gold. Refiner's fire. My heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy, set apart for you. Master, ready to do your will.
What Jesus had to say to these religious leaders. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, reading from verse 17 to 20. Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person, but eating with unwashed hands does not defile them. Jesus was adamant. The rule being enforced was totally irrelevant to one's relationship to God. And they were deeply offended by what Jesus said. Scandalizo is the word used, meaning they were repulsed, indignant, and shocked by his teaching. Jesus was not only undermining the very foundations of their faith, but also wiping out sections of Scripture, namely the Old Testament book of Leviticus. But Jesus wasn't finished with these leaders there. He went one stage further and also accused them of hypocrisy. He pointed out that they were guilty of twisting so many rules to suit themselves and their own purposes. He accused them of giving God lip service only, and he claimed that their hearts were far from him. Now, this was certainly not how to win friends and influence people, so naturally they were even more furious. When Jesus' disciples pointed out how upset these religious leaders were, Jesus explained it was impossible for the blind to lead the blind, meaning people can rarely be led into truth and right living by teachers who have not searched and found God for themselves. St. Thomas Aquinas once said, "What matters to God is not so much how we act, but why we act. Not so much what we do, but what we hide in the heart of our hearts. Man sees the deed, but God sees the intention." Here are also some beautiful words from Psalm 51. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Here's Johanna Southern singing "Search Me, O God."
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. I pray, see it. cleanse me from every sin and set me free. I praise thee, Lord, for saving me from sin.
In the second half of today's reading, we find Jesus is now safe from the hostility of the scribes and Pharisees and is in Gentile territory. He is now also away from the crush of people clamouring for his attention. And it's here that Jesus encounters a very determined woman. By Jewish tradition, she was unclean, for she was a Canaanite, her own race an old enemy of the Jews. But somehow she must have heard about Jesus, and she approaches him with a problem, and she begs to be heard. Let's hear her story, reading on in Matthew 15 from verse 21. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Jesus did not answer a word, so his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment. The prayer that this woman prayed, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me," was short and simple, but effective. She came before Jesus with no set agenda. She came in desperate need.
Jesus, I've forgotten the words that you have spoken. Promises that burn within my heart have now grown dim. With a doubting heart I follow the paths of earthly wisdom. Forgive me for my unbelief, renew the fire again. Lord, have mercy, Christ, have mercy, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy, Christ, have mercy, Lord, have mercy on me. tender mercies like a river of forgiveness ever flowing without end. I bow my heart before you in the goodness of your presence, your grace forever shining like a beacon in the night.
That was a hymn, Come Pray, Lord Have Mercy, by Michael Smith and Amy Grant. The woman doesn't seem put off by the disciples' coming to be rid of her, for she stays put. She's there to plead for her sick child, whom she obviously loves. Jesus tells her, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, which sounds dismissive and quite unlike Jesus, who usually welcomed everyone who begged for his help. But his second statement to her sounds callous as well. It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. In fact, to us this sounds insulting, to say the least. But then again, when the written word is read, it's very difficult to sense the tone in which something is said, and it's very difficult to ascertain whether the eyes say something quite different. Also, scholars say the actual word for dog here, cunaria, is the name for a puppy dog or a pet dog, and not a scurvy street dog. This was actually a term of endearment. Jesus would have known that his message, which was initially meant for the Jews, would one day reach the Gentiles through others, but now it was simply not the time. But it was time to challenge the prejudice of his own disciples, who were looking on one of God's children as a nuisance, wanting rid of her, totally oblivious to her real needs. Jesus welcomes all who come to him, regardless of their background. So says this next song by Stuart Townend. It's Come All Ye Vagabonds.
Come all you vagabonds, come all you don't belongs, winners and losers, come people like me. You travelers, tired from the journey, come wait a while, stay a while, welcome you'll be. Come all you questioners, looking for answers and searching for reasons and sense in it all. Come all you fallen and come all you broken, find strength for your body and food for your soul. Come to the feast, there is room at the table. Come, let us meet in this place with the King of all kindness, who welcomes us in with the wonder of love and the power of grace. The wonder of love and the power of grace. Come those who worry about houses and money, and all those who don't have a care in the world. From every station and orientation, the helpless, the hopeless, the young and the old. Come to the feast, there is room at the table. Come, let us meet in this place with the King of all kindness, who welcomes us in with the wonder of love and the power of grace. The wonder of love and the power of.
I'm quite certain Jesus was not being prejudiced here. Looking at evidence elsewhere, A Gentile was the good guy in Jesus' story of the Good Samaritan. Jesus healed the servant of a Gentile, a Roman centurion. Jesus welcomed and healed many waifs and strays, lepers and outcasts, whom others classed as unclean. This story challenges, though, our deeply held prejudices today, does it not? Who is it we keep at arm's length? Who in our circle of acquaintances do we see as the outsider? Who is a nuisance to us right now, at this moment? Perhaps this is the very kind of person Jesus wants us to show his love to, through us. Alison Krauss sings our next song, When God Dips His Love in My Heart.
When God dips his pen of love in my heart, and he writes my soul a message he wants me to know, his spirit all divine fills a sinful soul of mine. When God dips his love in my heart, well, I said I wouldn't tell it to a living soul how he brought salvation and he made me whole, but I found I couldn't hide such love as Jesus did impart. Well, he made me laugh and he made me cry, set my sinful soul on fire. Hallelujah, when God dips his love in my heart. In my heart. Well, sometimes though the way is dreary, dark, and cold, and some unburdened sorrow keeps me from the goal. I'd go to God in prayer. I can always find him there to whisper sweet peace to my soul. Well, I said I wouldn't tell it to a living soul how he brought salvation and he made me. Had such love as Jesus did impart. Well, he made me laugh and he made me cry, set my sinful soul on fire. Hallelujah, when God dips his love in my heart.
But this woman is not deterred, and perhaps her reply, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table, is as much tongue-in-cheek as Jesus' comment is. No one else, apart from the Roman centurion, receives such praise from Jesus' lips as she does. Woman, you have great faith, Jesus tells her. What a contrast to what he has recently had to put up with. For here is a woman who comes to him in great humility and with far greater faith and far less prejudice than those religious leaders who'd confronted him. And her faith is rewarded. In healing the woman's daughter, Jesus reveals himself as Saviour to the Gentiles too. Here in this story, there is such a shift in the scriptures. A change is in the air. Dividing walls are coming down. Would that all of our walls of prejudice would come down in today's world. Would that people of faith could all communicate what they believe with each other without the need for aggression and argument. I'd like to finish with one of my own songs today, where we find God wanting to break down the walls we build. For in keeping others out, we shut him out too. Let your walls come tumbling down, it says. Let me love you. And so we say goodbye from myself, Sheila Hummel, and from Andrew Ridgwick, my technician.
Bye, everyone.
Have a good week, won't you? And take care. Bye for now.
I have built me a wall. I have come. Your walls come tumbling down.
Let me